the team that never lets you down. We're the only team old Carlton knows. With all the champions, they like to send us. We'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your hosts today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mel Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. On the show this morning, we look at AFL and Blues news and review the season so far. Special guest live interview today is former Blues Sam Rowe. We cross live to the hyphen David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front, provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, we couldn't do this show every week without our loyal sponsors.
No, we definitely can't. We'd like to thank WA Blues' major sponsor, Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers and ICU Finance Group.
Thanks for that, Craig. Good morning, Mel. Jesse, how are we?
Morning, guys.
We're up and about. We seem a bit flat, a bit low.
It's been a long week.
It's been a
tough week.
Tough week living in Perth.
Absolutely.
After the budgies get up against us.
Do you know how many people have been messaging me and I'm just like, you know.
I don't.
I'm not friends with a great deal of people who follow West Coast, so I'm pretty safe.
I was going to have a dig, but it's a bit early.
Yeah, I was waiting for you. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
I don't have any friends at all if you're going to say that, so it doesn't matter.
That's what I was going to
say. Anyway, all right, look, let's get into the show. Let's try and be up and a bit, up and about. Like, we've got Sam Rowe coming on later, which will be great, and we've also got the hyphen, so I'll be looking forward to what he's got to say.
He'll be pumped.
Yes.
So let's go into our first bit, Craig. Let's go into Blues news.
Okay. First of all, it hasn't been a good week, but the Carlton Football Club confirmed during the week that a mid-season football department was going to be taking place. Mark Lucidice confirmed an external panel will partake in the review, which will lead to by incoming president Luke Sayers. So from all what you're hearing, this Luke Sayers doesn't pull any punches, so it'll be
not if you believe the rumours that are going around here.
Yeah, apparently he's pretty hard.
Going to be very tough. So, look, the club acknowledged that they were not satisfied with where we're at from a performance perspective, and they know that members and supporters are not happy. So this has come about, I think, after the last probably 2 weeks more so than I think after the West Coast lost. So it's going to be all hell to break loose, I think. So.
Necessary, but...
Yeah, we've got record membership this year. It's just people are just so disheartened. I think it has to happen. I think and I think good on them for doing it now, because there was talk, there was always going to be a review at the end of the season.
Yep.
But I think do something now, fix it. Do what we can to make this year a little bit better and a bit positive for it.
I think Mark McClure called for the review on AFL 360 a couple of weeks ago as well. So listen to him. Maybe he's worth getting on the board, possibly, along with Cooter.
Concrete. That's his nickname. Anyway,
move on. Look, coming out of all this after 14 years at Carlton, our stoppage coach John Barker will depart the club effective pretty much immediately.
Yes, correct.
So apparently he had intended on this being his last year.
Wasn't he going to coach to the end of the season?
Correct.
He was going to, but the review started.
Do you think he's seen the writing on the wall? Or?
Yeah. I think he might have.
Look, he's been a great servant to our footy club. We've got to give him the plaudits for that. He actually took over as an interim coach when we got rid of McMullen.
And he did all right.
He actually did all right.
So
he's done a serviceable job.
He's claiming family reasons.
Correct.
He wants to spend more time with his family. And
you can understand that. So in the meantime, triple premiership Brisbane Lion player Luke Powell will step up to Carlton's coaching panel for the remainder of the season. So
Luke's been our development coach, hasn't he?
He has been, okay. But there has been there's good raps coming from him as he's through the under-18 competition. They reckon he's really... So time will tell.
Yeah, we'll get into this a bit more with the review because
yes,
a lot more will come out, I think.
It will. The club also has recently just announced the panel that will look into our review. The three-member panel will be Graham Lowe, Jeff Walsh, and Fremantle champion Matthew Pavlich. So
good old Pav.
So, yeah, so it's all taking place, I think, and it's...
Watch this space.
I think it's going to be. I think a few assistant coaches might go. Hopefully a few players get told that it's you've got 10 weeks to shape up or...
Ship out.
There's the door. So
it's a time to phase out the old and bring through the new crop, I guess.
Yeah. And just on some positive news is that there's a lot of talk going around that Carlton have entered talks with Harry McKay over the bye week for us.
Is he exclusive too?
Well, there is talk that he's only exclusively talking to Carlton. So,
which is great news.
Hopefully, that's again, you can't take it as being true, but hopefully it is true and that they can get something done because...
Can we tell Wayne Carey to go and take a job?
He's just doing his job.
Tom Brown reported that Essendon were going to throw him a big offer. You'd be stupid if the other 17 clubs not to throw him a big offer.
Wayne Carey was calling it the Godfather deal.
They give people Godfather. North Melbourne have tried for about 3 or 4 years to give Josh Kelly a Godfather. They're like us. We're a bit irrelevant at the moment.
Yeah. they also said Collingwood too. Collingwood got no room in their salary cap.
Don't get me started. If we want AFL news, let me.
Coming up.
To quote Harry as well, I have heard him say, they said, who do you like to beat the most? And he said Essendon. So if he enjoys beating Essendon that much, I don't think he would want to go to...
He's a good man, Harry. He's a good man.
Sign that bit of paper, Harry.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's it. Yeah,
okay. So, the good thing is there's no ins and outs.
Yeah, I know. There's no ins and outs. There's been no injury updates during the week, so...
And we can all have a good weekend.
Yeah,
have we had any feedback on Charlie? Do we know any more progress on Charlie?
No.
We'll just say it looks good.
There's been a
couple more clips of him training, and I'll tell you what, he looks ripped and pumped and ready to go.
What do you guys reckon? Put him away for the rest of the season, seeing the curtains have been drawn, or do you get him in there?
Bring him back.
He's ready to play him.
Get some momentum going for next year.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Craig.
Anytime, mate.
All right, Mel. Now, you touched on it. AFL news, AFLW news. I know there's been a lot of that.
Well, let's start with AFLW because it has been a big week. It's been trade week, basically. We have had some major outs for our AFLW side. Taylor Harris has been picked up by Melbourne.
Ta-ta. pack your bags.
And you know what? You guys can bag her all you like.
I'm not bagging nobody.
No, she's been very good for us, but...
She is a massive ambassador for the AFLW, and I love her. I think it's brilliant that she's been signed.
Well, maybe her manager needs to have a good look at himself then.
I've just seen she's doing some more adverts.
She's been taken off the Colgate advert, though.
Has she?
With Eddie
Betts.
She has.
Yeah, I did notice
big news.
She must be brushing her teeth properly.
Maybe not, yeah.
And moving on.
She went to Melbourne, not Collingwood. Melbourne, yes.
It's all
right. Hang on.
Talking about Colgate teeth. Collingwood don't have teeth, Mel. Yeah.
Well, going on to Collingwood, Alison Downey's just signed with them again.
We knew that was coming.
We did. I broke that earlier. You did?
Yeah.
And, actually, I think I broke it, but you told me.
No, I got it from a...
I think you told Mel in confidence and Mel said it on the radio.
Yeah.
But anyway...
I did too, actually.
Yes, what happened?
I got it from a very good, reliable source.
We also lost Chloe Dalton to GWS.
I don't understand that move.
Let's talk about this. She wanted to stay in Sydney because of
her rugby.
Correct.
Okay, that's fair enough then.
That's the only reason.
Because I thought if that had anything to do with Lions and any part of the deal.
No. She requested it because of her rugby. She wanted to stay where she lives in Sydney.
And that hurts Carlton because she's a big loss.
She was a massive loss.
Big loss.
And obviously Katie Lyons has also gone to GWS, part of the same deal.
Yep.
But hang on,
we picked up a very good player from GWS.
Yes, we did.
We do. We've got Jess Delpas,
yep.
Who's coming in, but we've only got one out of the trade deal. We've only got one recruit so far, but we also picked up draft picks number 10, 11, 23, 26, 40 and 58. Now, there's also talk about the draft this year. They reckon there is some amazing talent coming through.
So, Maddie Prepaskis' sister.
Maddie was who? Prepaskis?
That's what I said. Yeah. But clean your ears out, boy.
Do you know, is it next year that they're talking about expanding?
Yes.
Yes, okay. It is.
So is it not a good move right at this very minute that Carlton are going for draft picks to get the people? Because next year will be, you won't get draft picks.
That's right.
We also need to highlight that we've also had another 13 of our female players sign on.
Yes, I see that.
Know, and I'm going to quickly rattle them off because everyone should know their names.
I do.
McKay, Gibbs, Walker, Jones, Vessio, Walker, McKay, hang on.
Plain.
Brazalis, Stevens, McAvoy, Hill, Plain and Trujan.
Well done.
So I think, and they've all signed for two-year deals, and we've also got another...
You've got the others already signed.
Signed. And so we currently have 22 signed players.
Correct. For the next two years. When the expansion comes in, it's bad luck.
And we're very fortunate because...
I think it's a very smart move what they did.
They're actually saying there's about 450 AFLW players in a pool that we're going to be, once the expansion comes in, Craig.
Come on.
That they're going to be calling on it. And this is another thing I was going to touch on. The season is now going to be starting in December. And there's four more sides coming into the...
Next year.
Yeah, so at least we've signed and we've got some good deals done now. And then with those draft picks, we should be sweet.
Yep, I know it doesn't look like it, but I actually think the club's strategy has been good. Because they've got rid of older players, very old players.
Can I say for once? Seriously.
I sort of kept Al Downey, though.
So what else you got in AFL quickly? Because we've got to do Jesse's review. I'm looking forward to it.
So am I. The scathing review by Jesse.
Yep.
I just want to touch, and we've all got Bucks, obviously, leaving Collingwood.
Who cares? Okay, Jesse. Yeah,
but what you guys are actually going to should highlight is that... I know they're going to Harvey's going to step in as interim coach, but because they're in so much disarray with their board, they can't actually appoint a new coach.
Well, they can.
Who cares?
No, because
it's Collingwood.
They can.
Well,
the board's in charge at the minute.
The board's
so
in
they
charge,
can they can appoint
the board's
a coach.
Actually in complete disarray.
It's good.
Who cares?
So I just want to, and they've also
our board's not in disarray.
Oh. Guys, they're actual supporter group. Have got a petition that they've got going on. So
I'd want to have a look at that petition because you have to sign it. How many Collingwood supporters can
know
sign
how to write? Oh, yeah. They can't read anyway, so how can they write? All right, Jesse.
Oh, is that it, Mel?
Are we moving on?
Is that it?
Yes.
Collingwood. One other thing.
Quickly.
Very, very quickly is I just want to touch on the Selwood brothers.
Who cares?
They're going to break the record for...
I think they already did, haven't they?
Yeah, they did.
Last night? Thursday night.
All right, good luck to the Saints.
Let's go, Jesse.
Stop ducking your head.
Here we go, Jesse.
Anyway, Jesse, now, we know.
We're not reviewing the game on the weekend. We're not giving West Coast reporter out there listening the time of day.
We're actually going to do a mid-year review.
We are.
And we assigned you to do this because you know how passionate you are.
The stat man.
And don't leave anything out there, mate. Off you go.
Well, I actually haven't put that many stats in because it is quite alarming and quite damning and it's very, very negative. Because we pretty much sit bottom for most of them. But we're 4-8 after 12 rounds. We're sitting 14th on the ladder. I feel our best win's probably against Essendon this year so far, although we didn't play probably four quarters. But our best four-quarter performance is against Fremantle. We had a nice win there. Obviously, lost winnable games against the Doggies, Pies, and the Swans. Probably our worst loss was Collingwood. That haunts us every single week we lose. That haunts us. Mackay's had a breakout season with 38 goals. BNF leader would definitely be Sam Walsh by a country mile at the moment.
Really?
Yeah. surprise package of the year, I put this one in. Fogarty and Owies have been my surprise packages of the year.
Owies has been my highlight.
I've been really stoked with him.
I'm still going back to our last show last week. How can you manage...
Oh, Fogarty. A 22-year-old. They did say he had a few niggles, but I don't understand.
Okay, we had a bye coming up.
Yeah, you could have let him go through. He's 22 years old. And then they managed and omitted Murphy after Murphy had 2 weeks of like 18 disposals and a goal. Don't understand it. Probably our best pickup's been Adam Saad. I reckon just about, maybe Fogarty. Zach Williams is starting to press a case for that now. Playing off the halfback, he looks a lot better.
He looks a lot better on the halfback flank. Yeah, he's just not fit enough. Hasn't got a tank to go in the middle.
No,
but he's just on Saad. Saad's had the most turnovers, like 39 turnovers.
But he's not really got much working up. They don't run hard enough for off the ball when we don't have the ball. Even when we do have the ball, they don't work to space. So
Adam
that
Saad,
doesn't surprise me.
Adam Saad,
here he goes.
Averaging of 477 metres gained, 4.2 rebounds inside 50s, 3.7 inside 50s per game. So it's not bad off a halfback flank.
No. Mm.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Liam Stocker has been a great addition in the last 6 weeks or so for the footy club. I really want to touch on him quickly because I love the bloke. I think he's got heart and
bromance.
Soul. Yeah, but no, I did say on the when Simo retired last year on the show, I said, I want to see Liam Stocker step up and be that heart and soul player. I think he's got the aggression in him. He's got the intent on the football. Why he's playing in the back pocket is so ridiculous for me. I just don't understand that at all.
Can we touch on that for a bit?
Yeah, I'll start off by saying, seeing Ed Kerno on the back flank, there is the evolution in-game. Get Ed to go and play the rest of the season in the twos. Get him working amongst Sam Reyes. Just hear me out for a second. We have no senior figures in the VFL side that are helping grow our midfielders especially. So the people like Sam Ramsey, even Matthew Kennedy, Lockie O'Brien, these guys need someone to help them out in the R2s. And by that, you can say to Dow and Setterfield, you can go, mate, look, Kerno's not taking your spot. You've got 10 weeks to prove what you're worth and get Stocker and push him up the ground for me.
God, Jesse, I love your passion, mate. You just got so fired up in the studio.
I do.
Look, I agree with Jesse. Liam Stocker should be playing in
the
guns.
Middle. Yes.
We touched on this before the show.
Are you going to clarify this? Yeah.
Hawthorne's recruit, mid-season recruit, Jai Newcomb, he's a bull, plays in the guts for Box Hill. So what do? They bring him in for his first game. Guess where they play him?
In the guts.
In the guts. Mm. And what did he do?
He had played a
great,
a ripper.
You know, if he was a Carlton, he'd be in the back pocket.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Mate, you could pick up Adam Serra next by the end of this year, and he'll be playing in the back pocket for us next year. One quick thing I want to touch on, before we went on air. I did do a little bit of digging and stuff, and in the Constitution for Carlton, this is where it goes a bit weird for me. It's not until, like, Clause J or something in the Carlton Constitution that we even talk about on-field success and even highlight possibly winning premierships. So the board have set out an agenda where we're not even there to win games. We're not there to win flags, apparently. We're there because we're the Carlton Business Club at the moment, and it's driving me insane. Some amendments, Carlton.
Vote one, Jesse Goldsworthy.
Yes. Amend it, Carlton. Jesse. Listen and change the amendments in the Constitution because it's ridiculous how you can't state that we want to win flags.
Mate, very, very passionate, and jeez, we've only touched on it.
I've never seen him that fired up, mate.
We can touch a bit more when we talk to the
Don't lose to West Coast. This stuff won't happen.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate.
He's still pumped.
I know, he's going.
Angry.
Anyway, it's time now to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors.
Good.
When we return, we cross live to former Blues Sam Rowe. Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to former Blues Sam Rowe. Good morning, Sam, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mate, Sam, before I throw you over to the panel for some questions, mate, can you just let the listeners know what you've actually been up to and what are you doing these days?
Yeah, so I'm working as a construction supervisor here in Melbourne, still working for like a high-end residential builder. So loving life at the moment. I've been lucky to work throughout most of the lockdowns that we've had here over the last 12 months. And footy-wise, I'm still playing a bit of local footy. So for Doncaster East in the Eastern Footy League here, which has been good fun, actually. Really enjoying my time. We've had the last few weeks off with lockdown, but really enjoying myself. And really, all in all, life is going very well.
Mate, it's good to hear. I'll throw you over to the panel, mate.
Good morning, Sam. Craig here.
Good to talk to you, Craig.
Yeah, same with you, mate. Carlton selected you with their second selection at pick 44 in the national draft as a mature age recruit. Did you have any knowledge that Carlton were going to pick you up? And what was it like been drafted to the Blue Baggers?
Yeah, well, I did have knowledge because the year before, the year before they were potentially going to take me in a rookie draft, but that sort of fell through that year, and then the 2011 season to 2012 draft. I was speaking to them again, and they, you know, as it got closer to the draft time, they said that, you know, basically it was probably going to happen. So they gave me, you know, a few assurances there. So that was nice. And it was, I was very, very proud and looking forward to my second crack at AFL footy.
Morning, Sam. Jesse here. How's it going?
Going well. Thanks, Chippy.
That's good. In 2014, you were ranked fifth in our best and fairest and also was named our most improved player of that year. What was it like getting those acknowledgements so early in your career and being rated amongst your peers so highly?
Yeah, it was. I was very proud to achieve those things. I think the way I approached my footy, I tried to be the best team player that I could be. So to get those, personal acknowledgements was something I'm pretty proud of. I always focused on being the best possible team man that I could be, and I felt like if I could do that, then we'd, hopefully win more often than not. I mean, as it turned out in my career, we didn't win all that much, but, I was proud that I was able to, generally perform most weeks, as my career went on.
Hey, Sam, it's Mel here. How you doing?
Great, thanks, Mel.
Good. Mate, you just touched on being a team player. Can you, over the 99 games that you played, can you highlight for us who was the most major influences that you played with and who was your inspiration when you were at the club?
Well, there's probably a few, and they probably changed as they went on. Like, when I first, I started as a forward and failed there probably, and then I had to make it as a defender, and I got a really good relationship with Michael Jamieson at the time, who was, our best defender at the time, and I worked really closely with him, and I think he was a really good influence on me, and, I'm good mates with him still. I'm actually having a beer with him today, which would be good fun, but then as it went on, you have relationships with coaches as well. Like, I mean, Johnny Barker, who's just left the club, was a great influence over me in my career. He was my forwards coach for a couple of years, and then when I was playing in defence, he was also the backs coach as well. So I had a great relationship with him, and he was a great influence on my career, and I think he helped me a lot. And I hope he's going to enjoy the next part of his life, and I think he's given great service to the Blues as well over the time.
Sam, actually, I've just got down here. Barks described you as a very popular player amongst the group. And you also provided an energy and spark. How did you go about that? Obviously, when the club isn't performing as well as they like on field, so how did you, create that spark amongst the group?
I guess you can carry on a bit sometimes. And footy clubs are very fun places to work. Yeah. I mean, you're hanging around with, there's 40-odd players on the list, there's another 20-odd coaches, and everyone's like-minded, everyone's working pretty hard to try and win. So generally, footy clubs are great places to work. They're very fun, and sometimes when you're losing, you can forget how fun it is. So I guess I focused on enjoying myself and trying to make sure that everyone enjoyed themselves, because it's a privileged job. It's a fun job, and when I always felt when you work hard and you give it your best and you win games of footy, it is. The best job you could ever have, it's the best job ever invented. So, I've carried on a fair bit sometimes and had some fun, but also worked very hard. And, everything that footy provides is a great environment and something that I'll always cherish.
Sam, you made your debut with Carlton in round two, 2013, mate, and it was a pretty big game against our arch enemy. What was it like actually running out to the add onto the ground on the MCG, and how'd you find the day?
I do remember it pretty well, because I remember my good mate Nick Dygan, who I'd played with at Norwood and obviously had a good career there for a few years at the Blues as well. He's you know, words of wisdom were just when you run out for your first game, make sure you just take a second and look out to the crowd and take it all in. So I did that. I think there was 80-odd thousand there at the G that day. And I remember the roar was, you know, something I'd never heard or felt before. You could feel it. You know, it gives you tingles when you hear it. So I remember we lost by a small margin, I think, maybe a couple of kicks. And I think it went pretty well. Or, you know, it went all right in our first game. So it was a good debut. I remember it very well. And I remember hearing the Collingwood fans. I think they kicked the goal late to get themselves in front, and that sound was absolutely deafening. I couldn't hear, you know, anyone right next to me. So it was a pretty special day, and one that I definitely remember forever.
Sam, what was it like having Mick Mouldhouse as a coach? Obviously, everyone has an opinion. Supporters have an opinion whether he's good or not as a coach, but actually internally being in the club, what was he actually like as a coach? Could you give us a bit of an insight?
Yeah, I certainly can. Look, Mick was very good for me. Mick was probably, well, he was very sure on the way he wanted to coach. He was strong and he was firm, and if you didn't do what Mick wanted, he absolutely let you know about it. But for me, and he gave me some all-time sprays, like some huge ones, but I found that quite motivating. So if I had a good relationship with Mick, like when we weren't training and playing, I think he's a very personable guy and relates well to people. Even, you know, well, he had to have. He was coached the most games in history, so he's proven that he's good at that. And I thought that definitely came through for me anyway. And he was a strong coach. You know, he certainly let you know what his thoughts were. But for me, I found that, you know, I found that good to work with, because he clearly told me exactly what his expectations were of me. And if I did that, then he was happy. So I found it quite, you know, easy to work with. And it was black or white. I either did play my role or I didn't. Yeah, so, and if I didn't play my role, he would tell me exactly what I didn't do well. And, you know, if I didn't improve on that, then I'll be out of the team. If I did improve on that, then I'd be a valued player. So from my perspective, I had a good relationship with Mick. I understand completely that everyone has different opinions, and, you know, there's a new style of coaching that seems to be most coaches in AFL are this new style of coaching where you don't speak to players, you know, with real ferocity and give them real sprays like Mick did. But for me personally, I thought he was a good coach for me, and he gave me an opportunity to play my best footy, and I, you know, I played some of my best footy with Mick, so I certainly don't have a bad word to say about him.
No, Sam, you were recruited to Carlton as a ruck / forward, but in 2014 you replaced Matthew Watson in the back line. How did this come about, and how did you actually find the adjustment going from the ruck forward to the back line?
Yeah, well, it was a post-season review of the year before, so maybe 2013, and exactly one of those conversations with Mick, it was very clear. It was, well, if I don't establish myself in the team and play 20-odd games the next year, then I'd be gone. That was Mick's expectation, and that's what he needed from me. I had to establish myself, otherwise I wouldn't have a spot in the team anymore. And at the time, we had Wadey and we had some other good forwards, and I saw, well, we all saw a potential position in the back line, and I said, well, if I'm going to find a spot, then there's potentially a spot there in the back line, so I want to train in the pre-season, have a really good go at it, and see where that takes me. And, you know, the rest is history. I played my best footy as a defender, and you know, settled into that position pretty well for the next, you know.
I was just about to say how easily you slotted back in there. It was like, you know, you're a bit like Liam Jones. It's probably one of those good switches.
Yeah, well, it suited me. I'd like to think that I'm really a skillful, masterful player, but that definitely wasn't me. I'm a competitive person. I love the contest. I love the physical side of the game, which is, you know, as a being key back, you know, that's 80% of the game is contesting with the best forwards and try to beat them. So it suited me, and I really did find, I fell in love with the position. I loved playing on the best forwards of the opposition. Like, I got huge motivation to try and beat the opposition best forward, and that's something that I love that role. I love playing as a defender. It was certainly a position that I fell in love with.
Yeah, listen, mate, you also, in round 9, 2017, you suffered your torn anterior cruciate ligament. You missed that whole season, and then consequently, 2018, that was it, and you were... I know personally, we're all gutted that you were stuck on the 99 games at Carlton. How did that go down with you?
Well, look, I've never
name on the locker.
I didn't ever, name on the locker. So post career, I go, oh, geez, it would have been nice to get the 100, and it would have been. You don't really count them when you're playing, but as I was getting late into that year, and not really knowing my position in the team, I was, you start to think, oh, geez, it would be nice to get to that 100. But it wasn't to be, and that's okay. I've got no issues with it. I'm not dirty on anything. But not getting to the 100, I don't think I'd... If I deserved it and I should have got to 100, I would have got to 100, but I just fell one game short. So it's one of those funny things with my career. I certainly had to work for everything that I got.
Yeah. Mate, Sam, Carlton are going through a bit at the moment. Supporters seem to be a bit restless. They're going to go through a review. I'm not sure if you're still in contact with any of the players, but if you are, what's the mood like with the players? Are they still upbeat and still having a good time down there?
I certainly still talk to quite a few of them. Look, I think it's a bit of deja vu for the boys. Unfortunately, over the last, decade, really, every few years we seem to go through this cycle of struggling to win games, and so unfortunately in that position again. So hopefully it turns quickly. I think they do have a great list at the moment, and there's no reason really why things can't turn late in this season and hopefully springboard into a good year next year. But fingers crossed that they do sort of figure it out and get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Sam, it's just me again. I just want to touch on, and back in 2012, I think everyone knows that you were diagnosed with testicular cancer. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because I know that you're actually a proud ambassador and supporter because of the fundraising for this cause. It's the most common cancer in young men between 18 and 39. The second most common cancer, sorry. Can you just explain to our listeners what you went through? And to me, watching as a supporter you go through this, all I could feel was like we were so proud of you and you're an inspiration to young men out there. Can you touch on that for us, please?
Yeah, no worries. Well, look, it was a huge shock to start with. I was 24, young, fit and healthy, the fittest I'd ever been. Is, I thought my whole life was ahead of me, and everything was going really well, and it was certainly a shock to find out I had this lump on my testicle that I assumed was nothing. It turns out it wasn't. So I had surgery, had chemotherapy, that was tough, and tough on myself, but also tough on my family and partner and everyone. It's pretty tough to see someone go through that. So I guess now, looking back, I'm certainly in a position where I try to help others as much as I can. For people going through it or finding out, sometimes it's nice just to talk to someone who's been in the same situation. So I certainly encourage, anyone can find me on social media or wherever and get in touch if they want to have a chat. Otherwise, it's certainly about being proactive. I was a young guy who thought I'd never be, didn't even consider being sick or having cancer or anything like that. I didn't really know much about testicular cancer. I didn't really know anything, to be honest, beforehand. So, but to find out it's a young man's disease, it only really affects young people. So, it's something our health is something we can't take for granted. And we certainly need to keep tabs on it and just get, annual checks and just make sure that we do the things that we need to do. Because if you catch generally, or testicular cancer especially, if you catch it early, it's very treatable. But that same thing goes with every type, really. The earlier you get it, the better the results are going to be.
And just last one, my last point is going through that. Like you were very, very forward in and being, you know, an ambassador again, like I say. But the stress that you go through with it. They say a lot of these guys actually try to deny it. Like they don't believe that there's anything there. Yeah. So it's got to be like, and to hear you say that you're out there on social media is just absolutely awesome for everyone. Just to, you know, to be able to reach out, because mental health is such an issue, especially with AFL players at the moment. It's been highlighted. So good on you, Sam. You're champion.
No worries. Thanks very much.
All right, mate. Look, we better wrap it up there because we've got to go for an ad break very shortly, mate. But on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thanks very much for the memories and for sharing some of your precious time with us today. And as always on this show, mate, we end with Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Go the Blues.
Yep. Thanks, Sam. See you, mate.
That was really good.
Yeah, nice interview with Sam.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very open and honest about it, but it's all good. Anyway, look, we better go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we have our good mate, David Rees-Jones. Go Blue.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, David Rees-Jones. Good morning, David. And how have you been, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. Yeah, we can't get beat this weekend, so I'm looking forward to a pleasant long weekend.
Correct. Oh, yes, long weekend in Melbourne, of course. Mate, before I let the panel ask you a few questions, mate, firstly, congratulations on becoming a grandfather for the third time with the lovely Emma Rose.
Yeah, I'm stuck in Melbourne. My daughter lives in Sydney, so I'm stuck down here and waiting to get the okay to get up there and visit her. But, everything worked well, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, it's good to hear.
Now, morning, Hive Mel. Here, how you doing?
Yeah, good, Mel, good.
Good. Mate, obviously you watched the game, so did we. Look, we've touched on it so many times, frustration, disappointment. Like, you must be happy to hear that this review is going ahead. What are your thoughts, mate? I'm just gutted. I just don't know what to say.
I look at it, and I think most Carlton supporters are, that was a chance to get 4 points and full credit to the Eagles, really. I mean, while they had a lot of younger players, unknown players, really. I mean, players we've never sort of heard of in there, but they're good players stood up, and that's what you need to do. They're leaders, you know. Dom Sheed, Shannon Hearn, Liam Ryan was outstanding. Gaff was, you know, he was good too. So, you know, they're good players really stood up and led the way, and I think that really is where we are lacking across the board. We just haven't got leadership out on the ground to follow, you know, for the lesser players to follow, and that's becoming more and more apparent each and every day. But it's sort of very disappointing to go down to a team, you know, you obviously have more ability and on paper should be, but it does happen, and that happens when you're not having a red hot go.
Well, unfortunately, we've seen, David, the result of the loss to West Coast, this big internal review that's happening. I think there's going to be, by reports, a bit of a shake-up. What are your thoughts on, one, with Barker going now, and who else should follow him?
Look, Ken Barker's been around a long time. Look, it hasn't been a successful time, but he's a very popular figure down there, and he did take over the senior reins for a little while there as well. So, he's probably looked at it and thought, well, it's time to move on and head in another direction, I suppose, for his career and his sanity, I suppose. Maybe it probably gets to that point at some stage too. But, I think Luke Power's
taken over, yeah.
Yeah, take over that role. And that's good because he's a successful individual. He's played in premierships. He knows what it takes. So the more people we get in who have been successful, I think the better it can be. I don't know whether they're going to get too much out of this review, to be perfectly honest. You know, smoke and mirrors, really. I mean, they could ring me and I could give them an answer in a few seconds. You know,
that
on-field leadership is just non-existent.
Maybe that's what we need, Dave. Get you down there, smack a few heads around and say, wake up for yourself.
We've actually been talking about it during the week. Get Hyfe down there and sort him out.
Morning, Hyfe.
Well, unfortunately, I don't take too kindly to that sort of home truth these days. They don't like to live in a little bubble, guys, these days. So, you tell them the home truth and they go to water. So, yeah, it's a different mentality we're dealing with these days.
Morning, Hyfe. Do you think the high performance sort of aspect of our game will come under scrutiny with this review? Obviously, throughout the last year and a half, we've just seen fade outs during game, lack of defensive running. We're constantly conceding 100 points in games. Do you think that Andrew Russell and his high performance team are going to come under question now?
Well, they probably will. But when you go through Andrew Russell's record, it's very, very good. And so it just goes to show, if he's got the players to work with, he can get them over the line. But when you haven't got the cattle there, there's not much you can do with it. And it wouldn't matter, you know, we could appoint Jesus Christ as coach and it's not going to make too much difference because, we just fall away and fall away together. That's probably the most disappointing thing. We don't have anyone just standing up and not accepting it. I mean, with leadership out on the field, you demand excellence from each other and you don't put up with the sort of performances we've seen. I mean, and I haven't seen any of our players actually having a bit of a chip at each other out on the field. And I think that's, you know, at times that can happen. You know, you've just got to smarten each other up and expect a decent level of excellence out there than what we're putting out there at the moment. And that's got to come from our leadership group. And you know, while Doherty's playing poor, I don't suppose he's going to put his hand up and start chipping blokes and Cripper, I don't know whether he's that sort of... You know, where we go with it.
It's funny you mentioned that. I was actually listening to Mark McClure speak during the week on his show on Fox Footy, and he actually brought up that during their playing days, like, they used to physically push each other and box on during training just to be that ultra competitive. But again, you just don't see it on the footy field either with Carlton. Like back then, you could see senior players giving other players a spray on the ground. Like, but it just doesn't seem to happen with us these days.
No, exactly. And I think once again, it gets down to the mentality of the individuals and how they'd accept it, and unfortunately, too many wouldn't accept it too well. I mean, the home truths need to be told, and if anything comes out of this review, it needs to just... I think the main thing that really needs to come out, I feel that the team's tracking, you know, I mean, the club is tracking really, really well. It couldn't be in a better position. It has been in a better position, you know, for 30 years, I suppose, but... on-field is what we look at week in, week out. We don't care if it's record membership, sponsorship, through the roof. We want to see our team winning and competing in finals. And, you know, that number, elusive number 17 premiership is what we're that's the holy grail at the moment. That's what we're aiming to get to. So, I think we, you know, the home truths really need to come out. And hopefully... people won't be afraid to say it, and the players need to accept it and get on and do something about it.
In saying that, sorry, Hyfe.
you right there?
Yeah, I'm all good. Just touching on Cripper and Cripper not signing, do you think that that's had some effect on the other players and the momentum? Like, if our leader just can't sign on the dotted line... The mentality is just, what's going on there? Like, should he just sign, get on with it, and move forward?
I think it's already done.
Well, yeah, look, but I don't think he has signed, has he?
No, not yet.
Not announced.
Heard he has, but Yeah, I mean that's relevant these days. You know, the players are always, you know, that's part and parcel of footy, modern footy, I suppose. They're going to hang out and get as much as they can, and their managers are probably more to blame for that side of things than anyone else. But look, I don't think that would have any real effect on the players these days. I mean, when you lose players and you pick up players, it doesn't seem to affect teams too much. So, I really couldn't think that would have any effect. But look, hopefully he does sign on. But if he doesn't and wants to move, then you know, it's one of those things where Justin Lepic, you know, he sort of mentioned during the week that the first blokes he'd get rid of are the blokes who've been, you know, the players who've been going to people on the board and expressing their disappointment, that sort of thing. I mean, their job's to play football. Get out there, play good football, and do what the coach says. I mean, that's, you know, you can see David Teague's very, very frustrated, as all us supporters are, but you know, he's the man with the job, and he's the one with his balls on the line, I suppose, if I can put it that way. I don't know if I can. This
time. Oh, you've already done it, mate.
You've already done it, so don't worry about it.
Too late now. But he's got him on the line, and that's what he carries around with him. So that's part of the job. So he looks as frustrated as anyone at the moment. And, you know, that performance last week was sad in a lot of ways, very, very sad, but indicative of where we are at. That, yep. That we're just not quite there, and we're lacking a little bit.
Must be hard to play good footy when there's no accountability for each other, like Craig was saying before, and also it just doesn't look like they trust each other on the field. You know, they don't work for each other, they don't run to create space, they don't sacrifice their own game for the benefit of the team. Is that how you kind of see it from afar?
Yeah, exactly. Hit the nail on the head there. But that's when you've got to make some bold decisions, I think. You know, you've just got to say, well, look, you know, thanks Mark Murphy, thanks Eddie Betts. You know, you've been great servants to us over a long period of time. Levi Casbolt, maybe even Ed Curno, all in your 30s. But, you know, we need to look to the future, and we appreciate what you've done in the past, but we're looking forward. And just, you know, make some hard decisions and do something. And you know, I think, you know, start playing some kids. Just got to start playing, putting kids through. And, and kids who want to have a go too. I think that's the other side of it. We just want to see a team that that has a crack, has a red-hot crack week in, week out.
Bring Parks back, I say. Get Parksy on the field.
Yeah.
I can't understand why the 26th isn't out there at the moment. I mean, he
had a crack.
At least he has a go. At least he has a dip. And you know, I think the week before, Casbolt played in the back line and he didn't come back in last week, and you just sort of shake your head at times.
Yeah.
I
mentioned Ed Curno before when we were talking. I was saying, like, I seen an in-game evolution last week when I seen him playing on the half-back. For me, I think, if he's playing on the half-back, that he's there as a midfielder. If he's going to be playing as a half-back flanker, then get rid of him, get him in the twos, get him working with the twos, and tell the likes of Setterfield and Dow and Stocker, you've got 10 weeks, let's see what you can do in the midfield.
Yeah, well, Ed's strength is his running ability, his ability to, you know, his negating ability, I suppose, is what he's been good for. And if the coaching panel don't think he's up to that, then, you know, he shouldn't have been playing last week. You know, if he wasn't, or they didn't have anyone they thought was going to be suitable for him, he shouldn't have played because, you've got, you know, we've got a team of backmen, really. And, you know, whether it's Zach Williams or Adam Sard or Doherty, you know, I mean, it's forced Doherty out to a wing, basically, because we've got too many backmen, you know. It's you know, and then Ed Curnow's playing on a half-back flank again. What's going on? It just doesn't make sense.
Would have been easier, mate, if you put Stocker into the middle. I don't know if you watched the Sydney Hawthorn game last night. They had that new guy come in from Box Hill. Mm. He's a beast. They played him in the guts. He played a great game. If that was him, he would have been in the back pocket for Carlton. That's where I get a little bit disappointed and frustrated.
That's it. You know, it really is. And the development of players just hasn't happened. You know, you look at our, you know, whether it be O'Brien or Dow or, you know, you look at these kids, you know, who you know, high draft picks, and they just haven't developed, and that's got to come back onto the, you know, coaching panel as well.
Yeah. Last one, Craig.
I must admit, David, I'm sitting here next to Mel, and she's wearing a very flashy Prader-Will syndrome hoodie.
Prader-Willie?
Prader-Willie, what did I say?
Will.
Well, it's my vocabulary, not real good.
We're on a radio show, not a TV show, yeah. But she is sitting there, she's with proudly wearing it with her hoodie.
And yes. Hive, I've got to tell you too, and I'm going to throw the boys under the bus, next year we're going to get behind and we're going to do our own 15 by 15 challenge.
What the hell?
Oh, wow.
Right, it's on.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
I'll do it.
15 pots.
Yes. I was going to say that. Chris and I will do 15 beers in 15 days.
That's all good. Mate, look, yeah, the good thing is, as you touched on earlier, Dave, we've got the whole weekend and we're not going to lose and we can have an enjoyable weekend. So, mate, once again, thanks very much for sharing your time and enjoy your long weekend and your freedom now that you're out of lockdown down in Melbourne.
And well, it's lockdown light, they're calling it. It's not out of lockdown. Don't guarantee that socialists here, they want to lock us down forever.
Yeah, all right, mate. Well, as always,
all right, guys.
Thanks.
No worries.
Go Blues.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. See ya. Bye.
Love having a chat with Dave.
He doesn't hold back, does he?
No, he doesn't hold back. But anyway, look, we've only got a few minutes, and I just want to... We don't have a game this week, which is good, so we can all enjoy the weekend.
We'll come in happy next week.
Yeah.
And when we come in next week too, we'll review or preview the Giants game, but let me just let the listeners know. We do have a function next Saturday night down at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. Saturday, 19th of June. Game starts at 5:25 against the Giants. It'll be on the big screen in the front beer garden. As always, we'll have the free members raffle for those who show their 2021 membership card. We'll have a raffle. I'm pretty sure we're doing a big hamper this week. And as the Carlisle Hotel has its own gin distillery, they're throwing in a big bottle of gin. But there'll be food, wine, Carlton goodies, etc., etc. Of course, you got your food, spit roast, hopefully for Jesse down there, pieces, $7 pints, etc., etc., etc. One thing we'll also be rolling out is our end-of-season raffle, which will be down there, so you'll be able to purchase those tickets. Let me just give you the first prize, which is a doozy. First prize is two tickets to the 2021 John Nicholls Medal Dinner in Melbourne, date to be confirmed. Includes two return airfares donated by Hyundai WA and Allmark and Associates, two nights accommodations in Docklands, which is donated by good friends of ours, Accent Accommodation. Now, that's valued at over $2,500. That's a first prize. Second prize is a 2021 team-signed commemorative jumper. Runner-up prize is a 200 food and bev voucher donated by the Carlisle Hotel and the $100 WA Blues Pack. So get down to the function. As again, it'll be all up there, and it's a magic prize. And we've also been putting up all our functions for the remainder of the year up on our website. Again, we're not sure date and times because the AFL hasn't confirmed them yet. But anyway, on behalf of us here, and it is always, thank you very much for a great show. Always thanks to our great mate David Rhys-Jones. He always tells us the truth, and we'd love him down to Carlton as part of this review. But anyway,
awesome.
And also a special guest of Sam Rowe, who I thought was fantastic. Yeah, great
was
interview.
Champion, mate.
Brilliant.
Great interview. And Craig, as always, get off.
Oh, Craig. Hello.
Oh, I'm going to wear some looser undies next week.
But anyway, it's time to go. But it is always, as we show on this show, go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Go the Blues. Against the famous